So I sit before you tonight not as one who knows, but rather as a fellow sufferer, one who knows suffering, and occasionally the ending of suffering. I offer this talk humbly in the spirit of sharing, in the hope that my experience and understanding can be of support to some of you. And if not, please just enjoy the journey with me. I'd like to talk about where's the freedom. In the past year, there's been lots and lots of opportunity for me to notice how difficult and challenging it can be when moving out of the comfort and ease and privacy of one's home. Norman and I sold our house in Canada. Part of that was me stopping my homeopathy practice and saying goodbye to friends and family and Sangha, saying goodbye to the familiar and taking a step into the unknown with no fixed address and no fixed plan. Since then, basically we've been moving from retreat to retreat, from Canada to India, here in Israel, to England, back to Canada, to the U.S., with some really lovely time spent enjoying each country that we've been in. We have no idea where we will be or what we will be doing next year at this time. So it's been an opportunity to face the insecurity of the unknown, and I'm reminded of it being here now. All of us are away from home, and how we like things and the way we'd like things to be. For all of us, it's a step into the unknown. There's always an element of unknown on a retreat, whether it's our first time on the retreat, or our first time with certain teachers, or first time in a retreat center, or it's the first time I'm on retreat since I have a new job, or it's the first time I'm on retreat since I'm not in relationship. It can go on and on. The mind always finds some reason, always looks for a reason for its insecurity. And somehow this seems to be highlighted by being on retreat. I think the stillness and the silence have something to do with it. It's as if the silence shines a light on, or brings into the light, our inner state. And it comes quite strongly into awareness. It's not that there's necessarily any more of the unknown when we're on retreat, any more than in any other moment, for each moment presents the unknown. It's just that perhaps the retreat structure, being away from talking and busyness, job, telephone, television, family, demands on us, that this being away from all of this, the retreat structure kind of encourages and allows the inner state to be seen and experienced. So in this environment of calmness and silence, we really are presented with a precious opportunity to see and experience our deep feelings, to see our reaction to new experience and to people, indeed to each new moment. And it's an opportunity to look into our reactions, to gain insight and understanding about ourselves and our life. Norman, I think it was in the opening talk or in the past day or so, talked about samatha vipassana. Samatha meaning calmness, vipassana meaning insight or understanding. And that's the practice that we're doing here. And I think we can see how they are interdependent. With the calmness, with the silence, understanding can arise. And with the understanding can come calmness and steadiness. insecurity about the unknown showed itself for me on retreat some time ago when I gave my first Dharma talk. It's still there. The mind state that arose when I was just thinking about preparing the talk was so strong that my investigation and inquiry into what was going on for me became the actual content of the talk itself. It's almost as if Norman talked last night about how when we see we're out of balance, it can be a signal for looking into this and gaining the understanding that, in fact, can help to bring about balance. And that's what inquiry into these strong mind states can help to do. So I saw how strong was the desire for my talk to be perfect, and how much that desire for perfection is really a pattern in my life. Seeking perfection is the way I cope with and compensate for the fear and insecurity that arises. This needing to be in control, suggesting that when I looked closely, that how I am in any moment doesn't seem good enough. The feeling in my body was constriction and fear, and I could see that I was too tense for any Dharma talk, any wisdom to arise. But somehow, being in the calmness and silence of the retreat environment, some important questions arose. One of the questions that often comes to me when I'm in a state of anxiety or insecurity is one that I've heard my teachers ask so often and talk about in Dharma talks so often. Where's the freedom? Where's the freedom in any situation like this, in any situation of suffering? So I asked, where's the freedom in my need for perfection, in my efforts to control? Is there freedom in that? Where's the joy and the interest and trust in the unfolding of each moment? Can I make giving the Dharma talk or stepping into the unknown in any new experience, can I make that be a step of freedom, into freedom, with freedom? And so just as I ask myself, each time I have to give a talk and I feel the fear, can I allow myself and the talk to be just like the breath? Comes into existence, passes out of existence. Can it be okay just as it is? Even then, resistance showed itself. Okay, I could give a talk, but I wanted it to be on just a certain day that I would choose when I felt that the conditions would be perfect. Perfection again. After I had a good night's sleep, after I felt confident, after. Here I was trying to arrange conditions to create ease and comfort. And resistance also arose in the form of doubt. And Norman talked about that last night. In seeing what I perceived as my limitations, my shortcomings, how can I give a talk? I don't have, 20 years of Dharma experience. I can't memorize a talk. I have to sit here with it all written out. How can I give a talk? I'm too nervous. I don't think I can do this. Again, seeing that there is no freedom, there is no joy in doubt, it somehow became okay just to sit there, to sit here, and allow wisdom to speak through me. To let it, this was an important piece, that the talk became and becomes not just something, not just an exercise for self, but to use it, to let it be an encouragement to others, to all of you, to share your wisdom by by seeing that wisdom isn't necessarily limited or obscured by fear or doubt. Sometimes seeing limitation is actually a pointer to where freedom lives. It shows where the holding is. It shows where the stuckness is. And this seeing, this awareness, can give rise to understanding. It's an opportunity for letting go to happen. So can each of us ask ourselves, where do we see holding? Where do we experience holding in all of our lives? The seeking of ease and comfort. What has coming to this retreat and leaving behind the familiar revealed to each and every one of us? What habits are we clinging to in our relationships, at our work? Do we cling to ideas about ourselves that limit our fullness of being, that limit our joy and our freedom? All too often we perceive ourselves as being inadequate in so many ways. And as a homeopath and hearing people's stories and being on retreat and hearing people's stories, I'm really touched by the depth of struggle that we all carry with us. Is freedom possible when it's limited by these views, by holding? In asking these questions and investigating our habits and our inner life, it's really, really important that we be gentle and accepting of ourselves. It's all too easy when looking into the inner life and we see, oh, I get angry, or oh, I'm full of fear, that then we can add another layer to that, another layer of suffering by judging it and criticizing it and feeling shame about it. So just as we bring investigation and awareness to the breath, hopefully without judgment or criticism or commentary, I invite all of us to do that in terms of investigating into our life and ourselves. Investigation with calmness and steadiness can be very revealing. For me, looking into our recent change of lifestyle, an irony showed itself. When I'm living at home with the things that I like and feel comfortable around me, with a structure that I've created that's very comfortable, with people and places I've chosen to associate with, because of compatibility and familiarity and ease, there seems to be a freedom of being. There seems to be a freedom of movement that I feel more than when I'm in a new environment, when I'm in a new situation. It certainly showed itself in the past months of being on the road outside of that familiarity. And it shows itself more than when I'm in the new situation, because the insecurity can show itself in body-mind by holding, rigidity, tenseness, and inability to move freely that's born out of the fear. So when I'm at home and I'm kind of locked into the known and the familiar, it feels like there's a freedom. But actually, when I'm living much more a life of freedom and extending my limits and boundaries, there's less of a feeling of freedom because of the fear, because of the constriction. So the question arises, what is freedom? It can't be the sensation or the feeling of freedom. Norman will be glad to hear that, because I've heard so often, you can't trust the feeling. So it can't be the feeling of freedom that comes when I'm comfortable and at ease, because that sensation is dependent on things being just a certain way. And where's the freedom in that? It can't be in just doing what I want, because what I want changes. So to understand a word, it can sometimes be helpful to look at its opposite. When I think of what the opposite of freedom is, what comes to mind is to be in bondage, to be under the yoke of, to be tied or constricted, or even to be impinged upon. We see countries seeking freedom from power that is imposed upon them. We see people seeking social and religious freedom, again, from some kind of influence that's imposed upon them. Teenagers seek freedom from the authority and the imposition of their parents and their family. Most of us seek freedom from the tyranny of time and of schedules. And I think we're all of us here on the retreat to seek freedom from the stress and the suffering in our lives. An experience of several years ago offered an opportunity for me to see and experience holding and resistance and the feeling that my freedom was being limited. In other words, the suffering. I felt suffering. And then to experience the letting go of the suffering, the letting go of the holding, and experience the flowering of life that comes when there isn't that holding and constriction. I went to England to study homeopathy with wonderful support from Norman. And I did the first year by correspondence at home, and then I went to England for the second year. And it was quite a challenge to be away from my usual life for a whole year. And then, but okay, I still had another year to go. And I boarded the plane in September and got to England. And I got into trouble at the border, and I was deported. And it had to do with very strict rules in England about people who come to study. And you can only study if you are there to study in a recognized school for during the period of time during each week for a certain number of hours. And my school met the certain number of hours, but it was on the weekend, so they wouldn't count that. And I couldn't go in as a tourist because I was actually a student. So I was in this double bind, and I had just left Norman at the airport, and I sort of didn't have a good story to tell. It wasn't that I was really being illegal, but I didn't quite fit into any of the categories. And there was a very skillful immigration officer at the landing place, and he asked me a few questions, and I completely contradicted myself, and it was, "Stand over there, lady." And he went through all my belongings and decided I was not telling the truth, and then I told him the truth, and he didn't believe that either, and it was just horrible. And he said, "I'm giving you a week and you have to leave the country." And in England, there is no right to appeal. And it was quite an experience for someone who has been brought up in a very privileged environment, white and a woman, but in the West, and from a relatively well-to-do family. And I've never hit that wall of no before. And friends contacted MPs for me, and I tried everything possible, and I couldn't stay. I was refused entry, and I had to go home. And when I got back to Canada, I again tried from there and was told by British immigration, "There is no right to appeal. There is absolutely nothing you can do. In 3 or 4 years' time, if you want to try and come back, you can try and clear your case, and it probably will be fine." So it was that feeling of being imposed upon, of having my freedom taken away, of being impinged upon with no choice. And my life was turned upside down. And the best advice that I got, I think the thing that got me through it, was when I was in England going through this, I called my friend and teacher, Christopher, whom some of you have sat with. And he said, Peggy, no matter what, no clinging. Remember, no clinging. Just allow this to be as it is. And somehow, like the way a seed can find its way in fertile ground, it dropped in. And for some reason that is unknown to me, maybe because I had no other choice, okay, no clinging. I came back to Canada, and my teacher said, okay, you know enough, start your own practice, and get teaching wherever you can. And the only reason I was able to do that is because we had no money, and for me to be there, I had to earn money. And somehow it was as if one door after another opened up, and my practice flourished, and I found another teacher, and in fact my teacher from England ended up coming to the States, and I was able to get the rest of the teaching and finish my course officially. And I really feel it was because of the no clinging. Somehow allowing, meeting the unknown despite the fear, and allowing life to reveal itself in full flower. So this experience really nourished a sense of trust in the unknown that has been like a wise companion to me. Often it seems that freedom, as we speak of it, is a longing to go somewhere else, to do something else, to be with someone else, or even to be someone else. It implies a movement away from what is, or from what is perceived in the present moment. It implies the desire to change what is to what I want, which means that definition of freedom is limited to, or dependent upon, my personal desire or aversion. But freedom in the Dharma, in the teachings of the Buddha, in the nature of things, is unconditioned. It is unlimited. It is not license to do or license to have what we desire. It asks us instead to find or to allow freedom under any and all conditions and circumstances. It asks us to be at home within, regardless of where we are, even on retreat. In thinking about this, what came to me is perhaps it's more a question of freedom not to do something, not to have my familiar way of doing, not to be free from pain, not to whatever, you fill in the blanks, and still to be okay. And as a support for knowing freedom, can we bring the wisdom of the meditation practice into our life? Just as with Norman's instructions this morning, to meet the breath with awareness, can we also just meet this moment with awareness? To be fully present, to be fully aware in the present moment, receptive to and with what is, with the intention of seeing into the nature of things in the here and now. To be present, just to be present and aware, is not enough. There must be the intention for understanding. I think it was once Norman who told me that a bank robber brings these skills to his work. Real presence of mind, real awareness. It's not enough for freedom. The intention for understanding must be present as well. This receptivity and this intention means that the dynamic nature of life can be welcomed and can be responded to. Whatever each moment presents us with doesn't have to be a problem. All we have is this moment, however it is, whether full of joy or fear or clinging. Can we choose to let this moment and all it holds be all right? Let the struggle drop as you would let go of holding hot coals. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to do it. When you touch hot coals, you don't say to yourself, "Oh, this is hot. I think I better let go. I have to let go. How can I let go?" The letting go happens. Know that with seeing and understanding, the letting go just happens. Nothing to do. No doer. End the struggle here and now. This is the freedom. One of my favorite quotes from the Dhammapada, which is a short, very beautiful collection of sayings of by the Buddha, is, "Like the moon, come out from behind the clouds. Shine." We sit quietly.